Shivatara Suranidhi ki jai. Pavananda Saraswati Thakur ki jai. So this is June 23rd, 2015. Adik Mayana Purushottam Mayana classes. We're continuing at verse 41, which is the topic of aspiring for Srimati, aspiring and desiring Radha's seva. And we discussed yesterday about, well, we'll read the verse in translation. Purna anuraga rasamurti tadilatavam jyoti param bhagavatur ratimadrahasyam yat pradurasti kripaya vishabhanu gehe syat kinkari bhavatam eva mamabhilasha. Shripad says, and we should also feel and desire along with him, I only desire to be the maidservant of Srimati Radharani, who emits an incredibly supreme effulgence, Jyoti Param. That Radharani is the very form of passionate love, Rati Madrahasyam. And she shines, Radharani shines like a creeper of lightning strikes. And Radharani is the only abode of the intimate love of the Lord of intimate, of the Lord's intimate love. And Radharani mercifully appeared in the house of Maharaj Vrishabhanu. So we're continuing. Yesterday we discussed Purnanurag, and now we're discussing Rasamurti. A very nice phrases to describe Radharani. She's the form of, the word for word is Rasamurti, means a form of flavor, or the form of aesthetic rapture. Or here it says the personification, that she's, they take it together, Purnana Raga Rasamurti, that Radharani is the personification of Purna, complete Anurag. She's the Rasamurti, the personification of complete loving attachment. So that's Radharani. So we just have some discussion here, some on the purport. It's telling that the acharyas use the analogy when they're describing murti, of course, means form, and we have katputli. Katputli means like a statue or a puppet. Puppet is a little human-like figure made of cloth and cotton or whatever, and you put on your hands, and they do drama with puppets, a man and a woman. They do drama, or boy and girl, and animals. And so they're made of cloth. That's a puppet murti, or katputli. Katputli in Hindi, katputli rupam, or murti. So the acharyas, they said the Radharani is, she's like a puppet or a doll made of sugar. She's so sweet, Madhurya Mayi Radha. And every part, just like if you have a doll, like a toy doll, D-O-L-L, like the little girls have dolls and maybe boys have dolls sometimes of Krishna or some hero, maybe a Hanuman doll or some superhero, Spider-Man doll or whatever. So then they talk to that doll, but Radharani is, Charya says, she's like a doll, she's made of sugar, and any part of Radharani is so sweet. So Rasamurti, in one sense, ras means flavor, taste, so she's a form of sweetness, Rasamurti, the form of sweetest of sweet ras, of madura ras, and she is Radharani. This phrase Rasamurti means that Radhika, Sri Radhika is Rasavilasi. Her entire divine transcendental spiritual form of Srimati Radharani is made of the tastiest, most satisfying presentation of Madhura Ras. So her we generally think of a murti as some deity or icon or Thakurji that we worship, made of eight metals, Ashtadhatu, or of wood, Daru Brahman, or Neemwood, Jagannath, or Gauranga Nitai Gaur, or maybe jewels, or more commonly marble, white marble Radha, and black marble Krishna. Or in old days, the old deities in South India were made of granite, black granite. It was a very, very hard stone, and doesn't break very easily. Not very difficult to carve. So the ancient deities, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that in the Sringadev deity in ISKCON's Mayapur temple, the Sringa Bhagavan is made of what they call Jiva granite, which means living granite. That the granite, they have to pick out a certain type of black granite, that when you hit it, it rings, it makes some music, has some kind of, they consider it some living energy. Of course, ultimately, everything is alive, from the atom to the cosmos, because it's all connected to the Supreme Chaitanya, Supreme Satchitananda, form of Krishna. At any rate, so Radharani is this, she's also a murti, but she's not made of Ashtadhatu, she's made of Mahabhav, and she's made of Madhurya Mayi, and Madhura Ras, very sweet and tasty. And so she's a murti, and all murtis, they talk, and they're all sweet, and they're all beautiful, but she's a porn anurag rasa murti. She's a very form of complete, unlimited porna. Purnatam, of unlimited attachment, the most satisfying presentation of Madhura Ras, which is Sringhara Ras, or erotic love, which though sweet, and is so sweet that there's one big honeybee named Madhusudan, big black honeybee, Madhusudan Shamasundar, and he's always enjoying that sugar doll, that sugar rasamurti, that madhur rasamurti, that sweet form of ras. He's always for eternal time eternal. So Radha's divine form is a rasamurti, the complete treasury house of sweet mellows, all meant for the king of relishers, a rasaraj, Sri Krishna, Rasika Shekhar. So these are the comments in the purport. And basically we're hearing about the Mahima, Kirti. Radharani's mother is known as Kirti Da. Because when Radharani appeared in their family and dynasty, then she gave fame to that dynasty. Kirti means fame and glory. Da means dadati, to give. So Kirti Da. So Kirti Da is that mother of Radharani that by giving birth or being the mother and the Leela of Radharani's appearance in this world, she gave fame to the entire world, Kirtida, Radharani's mother. So now we're hearing about the fame of her illustrious daughter, Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani came to this world to show everyone what is the highest possible extent and definition of pure, unadulterated, unmotivated, unconditional, divine spiritual love. It's love, and we understand something about love. I love my mother, I love my husband, wife, daughter, son. I love my work, I love life. Whatever, we use this word, it's very common. There's even a Facebook called Love Radha. And so this very common word. But where is the origin of love? The origin is with God. Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. He is the origin of love. And he is the reservoir, unlimited loving principle. He, Radha and Krishna, she's the ashray. She's a reservoir. Ashray means like ocean, reservoir. They say this is a reservoir. It's a French word. Reservoir of water. All this water here, it goes by pipes down to the city. So Radharani, she's like that unlimited ocean, Prema Sindhu, Mahabhavati Radha, the Mahabhav Sindhu, the unlimited ocean of love, love and ras. Because Madhura Ras, she's born Anurag. Anurag means intense loving attachment. So intense that the lover always seems fresh and new and different and special. And of course, this is a feature of Sneha, Man, Pranaya, Rag, Anurag, Bhav. So especially the gopis and many other of Krishna's associates, they have some intense attachment, but not as complete as Radharani. If she's a Purnana Rag Rasa Murti, then this phrase, Tadil Latabam Jyoti Param, this is talking again about Radharani's, her quality of her form. It's Rupa and Gun. Her qualities, but qualities of what? Because there are qualities of the mind. There's qualities of the mind and heart. So, someone has a form, a male or female form, of Krishna's Rupam or Radha Rupam, Madhurya Rupam of Krishna, Madhurya Rupam of Radha, but then that form displays qualities. We have a form and we display qualities, anger or peace or kindness. So Radharani, her form is being described as Tadil Latavam Jyoti Param. This is an attribute, a quality or guna of her form. It's so brilliant. There's actually two phrases to describe the Radharani's effulgence. We call the Jyoti. First it's called Param Jyoti. And then it's called Tadil Latavam. It's like a creeper. Imagine a creeper, you know, creeper, a lata, that is so brilliant. It's like a creeper of lightning strikes. I mean, one lightning strike, one thunderbolt lightning strike at midnight on Amavasya creates so much intense light for the fraction of a moment that you see everything fully illuminated for 1 second. That's one lightning bolt. But imagine 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, many, many lightning bolts, doom, 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 doom. And so be lit up like an atomic bomb went off. So much light and heat and energy is released then. So Radharani is like a lata of lightning. There's lata, so many leaves, lata is going like this, many, many leaves, a creeper. So each leaf is a lightning bolt. So this is describing the quality of her effulgence. And this is, we mentioned already before, from Radha Kripa Kataksha, she was appreciating Tadit Savarna Champaka. And it's described the aura of light, her aura, the energy around her body. Just like when you see a dead body after someone's been dead for some time, you go in a funeral home or sometimes they have a viewing where you can see the dead body before it's buried in the ground or burned in the funeral pyre. They have sometimes some viewing. And the person doesn't look too effulgent, doesn't look too bright-faced, although they try to put some makeup on the face and some pink stuff on the cheeks if it's a lady and make the person look a little fresh. But actually, they look quite dark and dull because the jivatma is gone, the effulgent living principle. Jiva is more brilliant than 10,000 suns and more powerful than 10,000 suns. So imagine how to describe the experience of seeing Radharani, her form, and as I said, these are qualities of her form, of her physical form, but there's also qualities of that form that are displayed. These would be heartly qualities. Like when Radharani displays her compassion, Karuna, Karuna Gun, that's a quality. Some people have that quality, most people don't. Most people aren't very compassionate. They're selfish, egoistic individuals, especially in Kali Yuga. No one cares about anyone. But, you know, and people get recognized and they get rewarded and international fame. One becomes internationally famous and even rewarded with a prize by the United Nations for showing compassion. And Mother Teresa was given the World Prize or some award just because she was a nice person. She was very loving and kind and compassionate. It was so unusual and so rare to see compassion in Kali Yuga that she became world famous. But in Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, everyone is like thousands and millions of Mother Teresa's. Mother Yashoda is like more compassionate than millions of Mother Teresa's. And what to speak of Radharani? She's like 1 crore of Mother Teresa's. I mean, there's no comparison, obviously. One is spiritual and transcendental and God's consort. One is a jivatma from this conditioned world. But the idea is that this is a quality, Karuna, of Radharani's form. So now we're hearing the qualities of a rupam. So this is a quality of Radharani's heart, heart quality, Karuna. Now these are qualities, attributes of her form, brilliance, effulgent, that she has the param jyoti, the topmost effulgence of effulgences, the topmost effulgence of effulgence, the supreme effulgence. And there's some nice lila that's described here. That is very nice. Often you see these descriptions in Govinda Lilamrita. That Krishna, he's also eager to meet Radharani, so sometimes he comes before Radharani and waits for her. Usually he does, because the woman goes in Abhisar to meet the man. And sometimes he's waiting for her or she's waiting for him. But in this case, Krishna's at Radhakund, right here where we are in Radhakund. And it's about 11 o'clock, it's about 11:30 in the morning, about this time. And Krishna's sitting in a kunj, and he's very, very eagerly waiting for Radharani to arrive. And Radharani's effulgence, not only is it tadil latabam jyoti param, it's like a creeper full of hundreds of streaks and lightning bolts, tadit, tadil latabam. And it's jyoti param, it's blindingly effulgent, but sweetly attractive. Jyoti param, it's transcendental jyoti, blindingly effulgent, yet sweetly attractive, and heart-melting. This is Radharani's jyoti. So Krishna, all of a sudden, Radharani, you know, her effulgence has a special power. Not only is Radharani's divine form naturally luminous and radiant, but as soon as Radharani steps her delicate, beautiful lotus feet into the forest surrounding Radhakund or Shrikund, what happens? All the forests surrounding Radhakund, they take on the golden hue of Radhika's form. Usually you go into the forest, it's just trees, and there's some, maybe if you're very perceptive, you see a little bit of green energy, maybe some greenish light, or just light. You know, it's a forest, and there's shadowing, and there's sunshine or shadows falling on the floor through the leaves and branches. But yellow, I mean, if you're wearing yellow sunglasses, and you go in the forest, then it'll look kind of yellow. And if you wear purple sunglasses, you go in the forest, everything will be kind of purple. So Krishna doesn't wear sunglasses. He's just seeing, as he's waiting in this kunja, he's seeing that the entire forest is taking on a golden yellow glow, which of course announces the arrival of Radharani. So when Shyam suddenly sees this brilliance in all directions and filtering through the foliage of the kunja that he's sitting in, then Krishna knows, now my Priyaji has arrived. We hear and we read in Shastras that Krishna's Brahmajyoti, his jyoti, lights up the entire universe. They say the origin of all light is Krishna's jyoti. It reflects onto the sun, and the sun reflects throughout the universe. Now you have a mirror? If you have a mirror or a darpan, and someone's shining a light, or you go to the sunlight and you catch a beam of that sunlight, you can aim it at an angle, and then that sun will bounce off the mirror and shine up someone's face. Yes? These are things that go on. So So similarly, the effulgence of Krishna, the Paramjyoti of Krishna, is shining throughout the universe, and the sun is like a big mirror, and it hits the sun and reflects throughout the universe. Because we trace everything, the materialist will trace everything to nature. The cause of everything is nature, the scientist. Material nature, the prakriti. But the spiritualist, the devotee, the Vedantist, he will trace everything to the ultimate source, the source of the source. Not just prakriti, but purush. Purush is the source of prakriti. Life comes from life. Not that prakriti is a source of purush. So therefore, the origin of light in this universe is not the sun planet. It almost sounds like Prabhupada's statement in the 70s, we didn't go to the moon. So now they're saying, oh, now his disciple is saying that the sun is just reflecting Krishna's Brahmajyoti. Actually, I heard that from Prabhupada. At any rate, we trace everything to Krishna because he is a source of light and air and energy and life and everything. So now, and this is the point Charya is making in the commentary, that Krishna's universe, he is light. There he is. He's sitting in the kunja, his Radhakunda, waiting for Radharani's auspicious, beautiful, sweet arrival. And his jyoti should be lighting up everything, all the forests around. But somehow, he's Brahmajyoti. But when the Paramjyoti, he's Brahmajyoti, but Radharani's Paramjyoti. Oh, you're Brahmajyoti? Let me see your Brahmajyoti. And you go, see. Now, you want to see a real effulgence? Then let me show you mine. Tadilatavam Jyoti Param. Tadilatavam Jyoti Param. Oh, so brilliant. So luminous and radiant in all directions, up and down and everywhere, 360 degrees. It's sparkling, it's tintillating, and my eyeballs are falling out. I can't take it. Please remove your blinding effulgence, Radharani. Because in the battle of Kurukshetra, if you know the Gita, when Krishna showed his Virata Rupa and his Brahmajyoti, Arjuna Sakha, his friend, his best friend, Pandava Arjuna, Gandivaraj, he said, oh, Krishna, you're blinding my eyes with your effulgence. Please remove your effulgence, your Brahmajyoti, so I can see your beautiful two-arm form. Oh, my eyes. So now when Radharani enters Radhakund to meet Krishna and Madhyan Yam for the afternoon pastimes at Sri Radhakund, then her effulgence is lighting up the entire forest everywhere. It becomes Swarnavan. You've heard of Brindavan and Kokilavan and so many vans there are, and Badravan, Bandiravan, and Bilvavan, so many. Then Talavan, Kamvan, so many forests in Vrindavan. But now when Radharani enters the forest, it was the Radhakund Van, Srivan around Radhakund. Now it became Swarnavan. It became a new forest with its golden effulgence. So when the Paramjyoti of the supreme effulgence of Rasamurti, Rasavilasini Radha, that illuminates, this is very nice. Nice point in the Tika, very sweet. It says, Krishna's Brahmajyoti, this is everywhere in Puran and Shrutis, Krishna's Brahmajyoti lights up the entire universe. But his Brahmajyoti lights up the entire universe. Because when you travel throughout the coverings, the eight coverings of the material universe, through the earth layer, and then earth, and then water, then fire, then air, and ether. And go beyond, when you finally cross through the coverings of the universe and enter the causal ocean, then there's all this bright light everywhere, the Brahmajyoti of Vishnu. And all, it's called the Paravyom, the Brahmajyoti. Millions and millions of Vaikuntha planets twinkling and shining like millions more times brilliant than the sun planet. Then beyond that is Goloka Vrindavan. So that's Krishna's power of his effulgence, his various expansions as Vishnu, etc. He's the origin. But when Radharani enters the forest of Vrindavan, her Param Jyoti lights up the heart of Shyamasundara. Krishna's Brahma Jyoti lights up the universe, and Radharani's her Tadil Latavam Jyoti Param, her Param Jyoti, her Param Jyoti lights up the entire heart of Krishna. He who lights up the whole universe with his Brahma Jyoti, he becomes lit up. He's lighting up everybody else and every other planet by his effulgence. But Radharani lights him up. She illuminates him and radiates him. This is a very nice point, sweet point. So this is Radharani. She illuminates Krishna, very nice. Krishna illuminates the entire universe, all the three planetary systems and beyond. But Radharani, she illuminates the universe of Shyamasundara's heart. That's also unlimited. Krishna's inside of everything, and he's outside of everything. Everything is within Krishna, and everything is simultaneously outside of him. Mayata tamidam sarvam jagat avyaktamurtina. Gita 9.4 explains this. So why is Radharani's effulgence compared to a creeper of lightning? Tadit, or tadil lata. Tadit lata. Tadit lata abam. Abam, abha. Abha means a radiance or effulgence. Prabha, you heard of Prabha? In the morning they say Mangala Prabhat. You must have heard of Prabhat. Means good morning, or whatever, something like that. So Prabha means the light of the morning sun when it's rising. Prabha. So it says here, Lata Abham, Abham. So Abham means the light. And Gita, Krishna says, Rasuham Apsukonteya Prabhasmi. Prabhasmi Shashi Surya. He says, Prabhasmi Shashi Surya. Pranavasara Vedeshtu. Shabdake Purushamparam. Prabha, the same thing. I am Prabha. I am the light of the Shashi and the Surya. Shashi means moon, because in Sanskrit the word Shashi means rabbit. And there's an outline, and by Vedic understanding, outline of a rabbit, a silhouette of a rabbit with body with long ears. You say Kargosh, Kargosh, or rabbit. And the moon, and that Sanskrit is Shashi. Rasoham apsukonteya prabhasmi, prabhasmi, asmi means I am, prabhasmi shashi suryeyo, the sun planet, and shashi, it's a very nice way of saying chandra, shashi suryeyo. Surya means sun, everyone knows, but shashi? Shashi means moon. Why moon is called shashi? Because Sanskrit, the word shashi means rabbit. Because that white planet, there's some black spots on it, and the black spots, if you look at them, make the outline of a rabbit. Sitting there with ears like this. And if you have a clear night, you can see. In the wintertime especially. You see? So this is the Prabha of Radharani. So why? So the nature of creepers, the nature of latas and creepers, is to wind around and wrap around trees. So in the same way, Radharani's aura, abham, of Radharani's beautiful, love-drenched form completely winds around the tamal tree named Krishna. So that's why Radharani, creeper of lightning? Lightning is like a sword. You generally think of lightning like a sword or a lance, something straight and straight like an arrow, lightning. No lightning. There's a storm, a little rainstorm. It's Thor. In Greek mythology, they say Thor, the king of heaven, is throwing his thunderbolts. So we say Indra. They said Thor. Thor, the Greek god of heaven, chief of the gods, T-H-O-R, Thor. So, but we don't see round lightning. We don't see lightning going around. It goes from sky to earth, boom, and burns up a house or a tree, or goes from one cloud to another, like this. You saw? So Radharani is going like this. So that black cloud is Shyamasundara, like a, And she's like a creeper because creepers wind around trees. So there's a very special form of lightning, Tadil Latavam. How is it amazing that this lightning, this beautiful effulgent body of Radharani, which is like millions of lightning streaks, Lata Abha, Tadit Latavam, is wrapped around the beautiful tamal tree named Krishna. So this is the meaning of the ultimate. In other words, everyone says, oh, you're just emphasizing serving Krishna, serving Radha. But as soon as you're serving Radha, then Krishna's not far behind. Only a breath. You say, Ra, Da. Then within a split second, you say, Krishna. Krishna. It's like that. So what is a separation? A breath? Ra, Da, Krishna. So there's no separation. If you're serving Radha, then one breath away is Krishna. If you're serving Radha, you're automatically pleasing Krishna because you're serving Radha and she's embracing Krishna and you're fanning Radha, but you're also fanning Krishna. Because your Nitya Seva as a Mandri may be Chamar, fanning. You can practice now. Get a lot of practice. So then you're fanning. So this is how the Acharyas are revealing the beautiful glorification of Radharani. When you hear the glories of someone, you become attracted. And different responses. When you become attracted, you can have different responses. When you're attracted to something, you can have one response, a reaction is, I'm attracted, I want it. I want to keep it for myself. I'm attracted, I want to enjoy it. Or another response or reaction we can hear about or see something very attractive, and we can think, oh, it's very beautiful, it's attractive, I want to serve it. So someone may look at a forest and say, oh, it's very beautiful, it's very attractive, so many trees. So then he thinks, let me enjoy it. Let me have it for myself. So then he buys a forest and he cuts down all the trees and he sells them for wood. Exploitation. Someone else thinks, oh, there's such a beautiful forest and the village children love to play here. Let me buy this forest and we'll put a wall around it and a gate and I'll offer this as a park, a playground for all the children and walking park for all the people in this village. Because if I don't buy it and offer it for the pleasure of the people and the children of the village, then some materialist businessman will buy it and cut down all the trees and build big apartment houses. So the same way, we hear about the glories of Radharani, we can say, oh, I want to be Radharani, I want to imitate, or I want to have those qualities, or I want to serve those qualities, I want to be with this person. Well, how do you be with such a person? Well, she's surrounded by servants. There's only one person that's enjoying her, and that's God. So a little tough for me to be God. Impossible for anyone. So maybe if I want to be with this so sweet and beautiful, glorious person, then let me enlist in her seva. Let me apply for a seva position in her kingdom of love. So it says, Jyoti Pramnan Bhagavato Ratimat Rahasyam. And Bhagavato Ratimat, that's pretty clear that Radharani is the Ratimad. She's the object of affection. She's the object of Bhagavan's affection. And here, the other translation, Radharani is the only abode of Krishna's intimate love. So let's hear what the description is. Bhagavat Rati. Kamadev Kandarpa, who is the god of love in this world, creates attraction and loving bonding between men and women. His name is Kamdev, but he has a wife, himself also, and his wife's name is Rati. So we say Kam and Rati. The word Rati means bhav, like we say to different stages of advancement of bhakti. So there's nishta, ruchi, rati, bhav. Or nishta, ruchi, asakti, rati, bhav, or asakti, bhav. We say asakti, bhav, prem, or we can say asakti, rati, prem. Because at the level of rati or bhav, then one realizes and understands his own stai rati, his permanent loving attachment to the Lord, madhura rati, etc. So then he can experience his loving attachment to the Lord. So the word rati means love. It means also attachment. So the husband's name is love, kamde, love or desire, kam, and the wife's name is attachment. Because that's what happens. When there's desire, it's usually followed by attachment. You desire someone or something, then you get attached to that thing or that person. And then you know what happens then. You get attached to that person, then you attach yourself to that person. Or you get attached to an object, then you attach yourself to that object. Every day on your way to work, you walk by the watch store, our jewelry store, and you see a very nice watch. You think, well, that's nice, and you see the price. Oh, that's a lot. Anyway, I'm getting attached to this watch. So then you start saving a little money every month. Little, because it's a costly thing. So then after 6 months, you say, now I can buy my watch, that watch I was desiring and I became attached to. So when you go buy it and put it on, and a week later it breaks. Like most attachments. You desire, then you get attached, then you collect that, you get that attachment, becomes close to you, then the attachment breaks, the watch breaks, or the heart breaks, or whatever. So it's called heartbreak. Or what? Or watch your heart break. If you put the two things together, your watch breaks, or you watch your heart break. So this is attachment. So this is a very good couple. It's a very nice, they move in a nice couple. You've heard of Krishna and Balaram? So if Krishna doesn't knock out the demon, then Balaram surely will. Because he's very strong, Bala. So it's like two Bruce Lees instead of one. If one Bruce Lee comes on you, you're in trouble. But if his brother, Joe Lee, there's Bruce and Joe, if Joe Lee comes, then you're really in bad shape. So Krishna and Balaram, they come in, they're a twin. Twin gods, in one sense. So in some of the pastimes, Krishna, Balaram says, listen, I'll take care of this ass demon, Dhenukasura. Krishna, okay, your turn. So then Balaram beats him up. Or then Pralamba comes, heavy demon, and he carries off the boys because he wants to kill Krishna. But they didn't realize that Krishna's older brother is quite a contender. So he took away Balaram. Balaram said, wait a minute. This guy, Pralamba, he's not a coward boy. It just dawned on me that we thought that he was, such and such coward boy. But because he looks just like him, the same skin tone and same dhoti and everything. But now we realize that this is a demon. We thought this was that coward boy Pulkit. But actually he's looks just like him, but he's actually a demon. Balaram recognized that. So then he was carrying Balaram on his shoulders, and he started getting bigger and bigger. Then Balaram just killed him. And so in this way, in the same way, the very powerful couple comes together, Kandarpa and Rati. Kamadev Kandarpa, the god of love, and his wife named Rati, which means attachment. So as a pair, they are called Kamadev and Rati, love and attachment. But here, this phrase is Bhagavat Rati. Bhagavat Rati, so there's Lokik Rati and Lokik Kam. There's material desire, material so-called love, which is really, kam means lust, desire. And there's material attachment, rati, which everyone knows fully about. How devastating and how crushing and how debilitating attachments can be. If you become infected or involved in material attachments of any sort, you will pay the price of your attachment. You'll suffer. If not now, later. Guaranteed. Attachment produces misery. What is bliss in the beginning is misery in the end, Krishna tells in the Gita. But what is miserable in the beginning is bliss in the end. So surrender to God and serving God is miserable. It's difficult, it's painful, it's hard. I don't want to fast, it's Ekadasi, it's Janmashtami. But if you tolerate, then you get the supreme, blissful, happy reward of eternal joy and seva in the spiritual world of the loving servants of Krishna. Well, attachment is like this, but Krishna is in Bhagavad Rati. This is not common Rati. This is Bhagavad. It's not Kamadev. It's the Prakriti Madan Mohan. It's Sakshat Manmata Manmata. The Prakriti Kamadev Murtiman. Aprakriti Kamadev Murtiman. Krishna is that very form that Aprakriti means transcendental, divine, spiritual form of desire. Spiritual form of spiritual desire and spiritual form of spiritual love. And Radharani is Bhagavad Rati. She's the Rati of Bhagavan. She's the attachment of Bhagavan. She's the personality. She's that great, compassionate personality of Radharani. Is that one that creates attachment for Bhagavan. She's Bhagavad Rati Mad. Rati Mad means man. Man means possessor of Rati. And we say Bhagavan. So she's Bhagavan is Rati Mad. So this Bhagavad Rati, this phrase describes the supreme transcendental Kamadev, Prakriti Madan Mohan Sri Krishna, and the topmost transcendental goddess of divine love, Radha or Rati. So there's the Rati of the material world and there's the Rati of the spiritual world. There's the Kamadeva of the material world, there's the Kamadeva and Rati of the spiritual world. The Kamadeva of the spiritual world is the Prakriti Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan Bhagavan Aki. And then there's the Rati, the Divya Rati, Divya Rati, the divine transcendental goddess of attachment is Srimati Radharani. There's quite a difference. Radha is the object of Bhagavan's affection and attachment. And as I brought out this point also, that she's the Bhagavan Rati. She is the Rati for Bhagavan. She is the Rati for Kamadev. Just like our Kamadev of this world, the god of lust and mundane love, he has his Rati. Rati is his wife, and he's attached to her. So she is his Rati. Personified. She is his object of attachment, and of course she creates attachment to everyone else. But Bhagavan, he has his Rati. His Rati is Radharani. And he's attached to Radharani completely. And that Radharani, and look at it another way, that Bhagavad Rati, Jyoti Param Bhagavato Rati Mad Rahasya, that Radharani, that divine Rati, that transcendental goddess of attachment, spiritual, alokic, Rati or Asakti, she creates attachment to Krishna and any jivas. If we approach Radharani, and Prabhupada himself from the very beginning of Krishna consciousness, he said like that. He said, "Oh Radharani, please I'm praying to you, oh Radharani, please attach me to your Krishna." And Prabhupada was saying, "Oh Radharani, you are," and when in another way, if you look at it, Prabhupada said, oh, when we chant Hare Krishna, we should think, oh, Srimati Radharani, oh, Supreme Ladini Shakti, oh, energy of the Lord, please engage me in a service of Krishna. You can't serve someone unless you're attached to them. Attached means attached by space. Yes, I'm going to cook for you. Where do you live? I live in Bombay, but I live in Delhi. No, but I'll cook for you. You have to come to Delhi and be attached to my space. You have to be near me, proximity. So that's a type of attachment. And what to speak of heart attachment. So to serve Krishna, please, oh Radharani, please engage me in the service of Krishna. Another way of saying that is, Radharani, please attach me to Krishna. Ayi nanda tanaja kinkaram. patitam mamasham eva vamudo kripya tava padavankaja stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. Mahaprabhu, Sriman Mahaprabhu is praying in Shikshastakam, number 5. He's saying, hey, Nandanandan, ayi Nandanandan. He says, please, I'm suffering in this world. Please attach me to your feet. Ayi nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam maam vishame bhava ambudo. Vishame bhava ambudo. Bhava ambudi. Bhava ambudi means, ocean of bhava. Ocean of existence. Bhava means a state, a condition, a position. Bhava. Not bhav. Bhava. Bhavambudi. So everyone is, we're called conditioned souls because we're in a state of illusion. We're in a state of samsara. Rotating in the samsara, birth after birth. So he's saying, Aye nanda tandashakinkram patitam mam vishame bhavambudo. I'm in this ambudi. My existence is I'm in the ocean drowning in what? Vishame. Vish means poison. I am drowning in an ocean of poison. You know poison? Like snake bites you, that's called poison. You're dead. Poison. Aye nanda tanajikinkram patitam. But you've heard of patita pavan? Pavan means, patit means fallen. Pavan means purifier. So I'm fallen, patita. Where am I fallen? That's us. That's Lord Chaitanya and Radha Bhav. Of course, that's a mode of separation, you could say, or that's considered to be the beginning of a sakti, at least from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's idea or realization. He saw that verse, that's his own idea. But at any rate, it certainly implies the idea of attachment, a sakti. So my position is I'm drowning in an ocean of poison. Hey, Nandanandan, pick me up and attach me to the lifeboat. Pick me up and attach me to the earth. Take me out of the ocean of poison and put me on the terra firma of the earth so I can walk and breathe and not drown it in the samsara. So that's a prayer for attachment. It's a prayer for freedom from the ocean. Because then he says, I'm drowning in this ocean. If you're drowning, you need land under your feet. You need earth. You need a lifeboat. You need a life preserver, those round things you hold on. You have to attach you're drowning in the ocean. You can't hold on to water. If you're drowning in the ocean, okay, I'll hold on to this water. You'll go down. But if someone gives you a piece of foam or puts you in a boat, you can hold on to the foam and float and not drown. So you have to attach yourself. When you're drowning, you have to get attached to something solid. So we're drowning in birth and death. We're drowning in ignorance. We're drowning in lust. We're drowning in greed and anger and envy and false pride and unlimited mundane desires are drowning us and suffocating us and strangling us. So we have to get out and reach out and get attached. So this is a prayer for attachment. Ayi nanda tanajakin karam patita mam vishame bhavamudo kripaya. Everything's kripa. Every word kripaya, kripaya, kripaya. Kripaya. Tava parapankaja, stita duli sadrisham vichintya. Stita duli, keep me fixed as a duli, a particle of dust on your feet. Attach me to your feet. So this is Bhagavad Ratimad, that Radharani, because she is the object, the sole object of Krishna's complete Madhurati, Mahabhavati Radha, Divyonmad Radha. And she is the Rati for that. She is the Aprakrita. She is a Prakrita Rati Murti for the Aprakrita Kamadev Murtiman. She is Krishna's Rati and Krishna is her Kamadev. So the transcendental Kamadev. But more than being Bhagavat's Rati or the Bhagavat Ratimad, Radharani, she attaches the devotees to Krishna. Bhagavat Ratimad. She creates attachment. So that's what Prabhupada said, oh Radharani, please attach me to your Krishna. So Hare Krishna, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we're praying to Radharani, please attach me to the feet of Krishna, and wherever Krishna's feet are, your feet are there also. So please, oh Hare Krishna, oh Radha, oh Hara, oh Krishna, oh Radharaman, please attach me to your lotus feet. Oh Radha, please attach me to Krishna's feet. And oh, Radha, oh Krishna, please attach me to Radha's feet. So let you please come into the kunja, onto my seva kunj, into my sakhi's kunj, into madan sukada kunj. Please lie down here, side by side in the flower bed, and I'll massage Radharani's feet because I'm attached to them in service and love. They're my everything. And I'll massage her feet and she'll fall asleep. Then I'll massage Krishna's feet and he'll fall asleep. So this is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Please engage me. Please, O Radharani, please attach me to Krishna's feet. In seva, in surrender, in smaran, in eternity and forever. Jyoti param bhagavato vrati madurhasyam. Radha is the object of Bhagavan's affection and attachment. When Radhika arrives in the kunja at Radhakund, Shyam sees Radha shining. When he looks at Radha, he says, oh, I've never seen Radharani so effulgent and so attractive before. She's shining like lightning vines. Lightning vines. But lightning is heat and light and power to burn down a forest or burn a house or many houses. But Radharani's lata, tadit lata abham, the effulgence in abham, the abhas, the radiance, like we say, namabhas, the abham, the pinkish, beautiful effulgence of Radharani's, her lightning vines, she's shining like lightning vines. Krishna looked and saw, oh, Radharani's shining like lightning, like vines and creepers of lightning. Tadit latavam. But this lightning is not burning. This lightning is not blinding and like lightning, blinding my eyes at night. I can't even see afterwards. I'm blinded. So brilliant. She's not destroying. This lightning is not destroying and burning up the forest or houses. What is this lightning? Radharani's lightning, it has a special quality. There's a vishesh gun. A very special quality of Radharani lightning. There's Radha Tadit, and then there's Indra Tadit. Indra has his Tadit, his Vidyut. You say Vidyut, it's some kind of very, very slow, junky Indian motorcycle. It's called, there's Rajdut, which goes about 2 miles an hour, and then there's Vidyut. Anyway, Vidyut means lightning bolt. So Radharani's, her lightning is, when Krishna sees, because Krishna sees lightning every monsoon season. There's so much lightning and rain, and we're hoping we'll see some too. When Krishna is here, there's lightning storms and thunder and rainstorms, 4 months of the rainy season, Chaturmasya. So when Krishna sees these lightning strike of Radharani, like she's like creepers. Creepers are soft and gentle, embracing. So when he sees Radharani's lightning-like form, and what does he see? He sees that Radharani is shining like lightning vines full of passionate love. Love is not destructive. Love is constructive. Indra's lightning bolts destroy forests, but Radharani's lightning bolts build forests of prem, build gardens of prem. So Krishna is seeing Radharani like that. He says, oh, she's shining like lightning vines full of passionate love. Purna anuraga ras. And then Krishna becomes inundated with a rain shower of blissful prem ras. So this, I'm gonna drink some water. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Shri Radha. by this phrase in this verse by Sripad Prabodhananda Saraswati, Radharasudhanidhi, number 41, the theme of this is his second class on desiring Radha's seva or aspiring for Radha's seva. Purnana raga rasamurti tadilatavam jyoti param bhagavato rati mad rahasyam. Now by this phrase, bhagavato rati mad, this means that Hari Priya Radha is so incomparably sweet, effulgent, and overflowing with the light of unlimited blissful love, that she is loved by and desired even by God. She's just a simple coward girl of Braj, but Radha is glorified and thus distinguished by this phrase that Bhagavan, we don't read anywhere in Shruti Smritis, any other shastra about Vishnu or Ram or anyone, where they're describing some consort or some queen of theirs as being my Bhagavat Rati. She's my Mahishi, she's my Sita, she's my Lakshmi. But the very personification of form of Bhagavan's Rati, this is an extremely unique phrase in the Vedas. And this is being used for Radharani. So this is in the dictionary, if you look up the word Bhagavan, because it says Bhagavato Ratimad. So the Acharyas, they describe why Bhagavat and Ratimad. So we heard something about Rati and Mad. So Bhaga, if you look up in the dictionary, Amarkosh, dictionary, Sanskrit. Kosh means dictionary. The word Bhaga means, as in Bhagavan, van means possessing. Bhaga means what? Beauty, desire, and greatness. This is the meaning of the word. Bhagavan Ratimad. Beauty, desire, and greatness. So beauty, desire, and greatness, all that beauty of Bhagavan, that desire of Bhagavan, and the greatness of Bhagavan is attached to Radharani. Bhagavat Ratimad. Because Bhagavan means one who possesses unlimited beauty. Generally say, oh, Bhagavan means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unlimitedly full in six opulences. So here it's saying that in the dictionary, Bhaga means beauty, desire, and greatness. So this means, so because Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Nanda Nandan, is the most beautiful form of the personality of Godhead and the greatest. Yet even Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he desires to see and relish the beauty and sweetness and greatness of the sweetness of Radhika. And the Ujjvala Nilamani, Rupa Goswami quotes Krishna as saying this. Krishna said this one day when he met Radharani. He said, oh, Radhika, the festival of your form, the Rupotsav, the Tum Rupotsav, your festival, the festival of your form, Rupotsav, the festival of your form makes me tremble along with the three worlds. As soon as Krishna sees Radharani's beautifully divine, attractive, charming form, he starts trembling. Trembling is a symptom of sattvic vikar, transformations of sata, transformations of one's existence, the position of his heart. Sata means existence, and sattva means his transcendental, a prakriti, feelings. He starts trembling. And not only Krishna trembles when he sees Radharani, but the entire three worlds, Bhur Bhuva Swa, they also tremble. And this is the phrase in that was English, and he says, Vidu Nayati Radike, Tri Jagadeva Rupotsava. The same thing, the whole Trigat, Tri Jagadeva Rupotsav. So now the verse has the word Rahasyam. Jyoti Param Bhagavata Ratimad Rahasyam. Everyone knows this word means secret or hidden. There's one prayer which oftentimes it's said that Rupa Goswami wrote it, but many of the scholars, Gaudiya Vaishnava scholars, say that someone else wrote it and put his name on it. It's very beautiful, but it may not. It's not included in Stavamala, which is the collected works of Rupa Goswami. It's called Nikunja Rahasya Stava. Stava means prayer. There's one prayer called Nikunja Rahasya Stava. It's very beautiful. And many of the Brijvasis, they recite this prayer. Many of the Pandits and Brahmins, when they give their Saptahas, well, they sing very beautifully the Sanskrit Stava, Nikunja Rahasya Stava. And that word, of course, is there as Rahasya. So this word Rahasya means secret, mysterious, hidden, and confidential. So Rahasya means Guyam, secret. And the Bhagavad Gita uses the word Guyam to indicate secret, as in chapter 9 of the Bhagavad Gita, Rajavidya, Rajaguyam, Pavitram Paramam Bhavam. Krishna tells this knowledge, this is chapter 9, Bhagavad Gita, verse 1, Rajavidya, Rajaguyam. Rajavidya, Rajaguyam. This Rajavidya, this Vidya, Paravidya, divine wisdom, transcendental knowledge, which I'm imparting to you, Arjuna, it is the king of all knowledge, the topmost of all knowledge. And it is Rajaguyam, it is the king of all secrets. Guyam means secret, like Rahasyam. So this is to indicate that it's very secret, Rajaguyam. So transcendental knowledge about Krishna is the king of all secrets. If you read Bhagavad Gita nicely, you'll see that there's a progression. Krishna is describing a progression of secrets. I can tell you a secret. And then someone said, no, I can tell you something more secret. I know something about this person. Acha? What? And someone else is sitting there hearing, no, I know something more secret. Acha? And then another person there in the group says, I know something more secret than all that, than everything you said so far. The most secret thing about Acha? And all ears are focused. What is that? So Krishna does the same thing in Gita. He uses the words Guya, Guyama, Guyatara, Guyatam. Like we say Purna Bhagavan, Purnatara Bhagavan, Purnatam. Krishna's Purna Bhagavan in Dwarka. This is what Goswami is describing. And then, because mostly Aishwarya there, and some sweetness, of course, obviously. Conjugal Madhurya Ras is there, very sweet. Madhura means sweet. But in Mathura, Krishna's called Purnatara. There's more sweetness. There's more sweetness because it's closer to Vrindavan. It's Mathura Mandala. This is, and then in Braj, Krishna's Leela is called Purnatam. The same with secrets, the secrets in the Gita, the Guyam, Guyatara, Guyatam. Then Sarva Guyatama means, and someone says, I want to tell you something very, very secret. And then someone else will come and say, no, I'm going to tell you the most secret of all the secrets that you've heard so far. I can tell you the biggest secret. And that's called Sarva Guyatama. So then what is that in the Gita? If you read Gita, you'll see there throughout the Gita, beginning 9th chapter up to 18th, especially in 18th, there's Guyatara, Guyatam, and then Guyatam, and then Sarva Guyatam. So then Krishna, he says, now Arjuna, are you ready? Are you ready? He doesn't know what to say. Are you ready? What do you say? Are you ready, Arjuna? Now I'm going to tell you the most secret of all secrets. So then Krishna says, this is the greatest secret, the most confidential knowledge of the Gita. What is that? Surrender to Krishna. Sarva dharman prityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papevyo mokshay shami ma shuchah. And if you do that, if you catch this secret and surrender, then that will lead to love of God, prema, which in turn will culminate in mahabhav, because the highest form of prema is mahabhav. And the greatest devotee of Krishna is Radha. And Srimati Radharani alone is the topmost embodiment of Mahabhav. So ultimately, the rahasya, when we say rahasyam, the greatest secret of the greatest, the sarvaguhyatamam of the Gita is surrender. So you can't surrender to someone unless you're attracted and attached and you actually love them. The greater the degree of attachment and love, the greater the degree of surrender. So that's what bhakti is all about. The sadhana bhakti is all about surrender, sharanagati. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu mentions sadguna, there's six types of surrender. Anukalyena sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishyatiti vishvaso govtritve varanam tata. He's explaining we have to accept everything which is favorable for Krishna's seva, reject everything as unfavorable, always consider ourselves meek and mild, always depend on the protection and maintenance of Krishna, and offer everything we have, atma nikshepa karpanya. Atma nikshepa karpanya. Sadguna, sadguna or sad, whatever, sharanagati. Six symptoms of surrender. So bhakti is if you want your bhakti, your devotion to Krishna to increase, you have to surrender more and more day by day till your surrender comes to the level of Krishna's brijvasis, absolute surrender. So the greatest secret in the Gita is surrender to Krishna and love Krishna. You surrender and you love Krishna. And the most surrendered devotee in the whole universe, who is most surrendered and loves Krishna the most and serves Krishna the most, is Mahabhavati Radha, Mahabhav Srupini Radha. So ultimately the Bhagavad Gita, the greatest secret of the Bhagavad Gita, the great Sarva Rahasya, Rahasya Guyam mean the same thing, secret. The greatest secret of Gita is Radharani's Mahabhav. Because if you surrender fully to Krishna, then you'll find out about Radharani. Because the fullest expression of Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, is seen in his greatest devotee Radharani in Braj Leela. Many people surrender to Krishna in Vaikuntha, or surrender to Krishna in Vaikuntha Bhav. But when you surrender to Krishna, then he, absolutely and completely, he may reveal the greatest secret. He may reveal that sarva-rahasya, that sarva-guyatamam. The greatest secret is Radharani, his Radharani, her great love, unlimited love. So Radharani's love is the most secret. So Radharani is alone. She is the topmost embodiment and personification of Mahabhav. So Radharani's identity, because this word is rahasya, Bhagavat Ratimad Rahasyam, that Radharani is the object, the topmost object of affection or rati or attachment for Krishna, Bhagavan. But she's very rahasya. Who knows about this Radharani? All of South India, they don't know about Radharani. They don't believe in Radharani. There are entire followers of religious, of Vaishnavas, entire whole groups of Vaishnavas that don't accept Radharani. They say that Radharani is like an apsara. And you won't even, Radharani, you won't believe it, but the Madhva Sampradaya, they don't accept. They accept Krishna and Dwarka. Krishna is born in Gokul and maybe takes out cows here and there. Then he's married and he goes to Dwarka with Rukmini and Satyabhama. They say, we don't accept this Radharani. She's some apsara. It's make-believe. So that's why the word is rahasya. Jyoti param bhagavato rati mad rahasya. The Radharani is bhagavat rati. She's the object of Krishna's rati, or divine spiritual attachment. But she's rahasya. Okay, she's identified and described as this, Bhagavat by Sripad. Purnana raga rasamurti tadil latavam. Jyoti param bhagavato rati mad rahasyam. But she's very, very secret. And the commentary is explaining this word, rahasya, guyam, in the Gita is guyam, sarva guyatamam. So here, the Radharani, her identity, Radharani's identity and love is the greatest, most confidential mystery. This is the actual hidden secret of the Bhagavad Gita, and especially the Srimad Bhagavatam, which I already mentioned, how Radharani is the ultimate sarva guyatamam of Gita. Which you missed, but you can hear later. And also, of course, in the Bhagavatam. So hidden there, hidden in the Bhagavatam and hidden in the Gita, that's why rahasya. Rahasya means confidential, secret, hidden, mysterious. Hidden there, one can find and discover the Mahabhava of Radharani. It's quite clear in the Bhagavatam. It's a little esoteric and little, you have to have quite vishesh ak, special vision to find Radharani there. But if Krishna's there, Radharani's there. Once Prabhupada was asked by Achyutananda Swami in the 70s, and he said, Achyutananda Swami, Prabhupada's disciple, he said, Prabhupada, I went to some Gaudiya Math, and they said, they were challenging me, how you can have this deity in Delhi, and Delhi temple is a deity of Rukmini, what do you call it? Radha Partha Sarathi. It's like a Rasa Bath. Krishna is never mixing with Radharani when Arjuna, you don't hear about Arjuna being in a kunja with Radha and Krishna. Radha Partha Sarathi. Sarathi means the chariot driver of Part. Arjuna. So they said, these people in Gaudiya Math back in the 70s, they told Achyutananda that this is Rasabhas, and these, of course, are the two no-nos in bhakti, which are mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that any delivery, when Damodar Pandit was examining the writings or poems that were going to be offered to Mahaprabhu for his review or for his reading in Puri, there was two considerations. Is it Siddhanta Virud, or which we often say Apasiddhanta. Virud means against, I think it's the same in Hindi. Is it Siddhanta Virud, or is it Rasabhas? I mean, rather Rasabhas. Is it against the Ras? It's not. It's an improper, Prabhupada said, a wrong mixture of mellows. It's a wrong combination of Rasas. It's Vatsalya Ras mixed with some Madhurya or whatever. It doesn't mix. Yashoda always sees Krishna as her son. She has some idea. She's heard that Krishna meets the gopis, but she doesn't believe it. Oh, he's just a little boy there. Maybe they're playing some, just throwing flowers at each other, whatever. She can't see that he's big. He's a teenager. He just never sees. Even in Kurukshetra, I was just hearing that the Bhagavad Leela, the recitation of the 10th canto, by myself, chapter 82, with all the tikas of Vishnath, about how Yashoda Nanda met Krishna and Balaram on the battlefield of Kurukshetra during a solar eclipse, and they were, at this time, they were about 60 years old. I mean, they were. Krishna and Balaram came from Dwarka, and Yashoda Ma and Nanda Baba came from Vrindavan, and they were. Krishna was 60, and she was old when she gave birth. She was about 100. Yashoda was about 100 or so, maybe even more. And they met in a tent together, Vasudev and Nanda Baba, because they're like brothers of some relation there, you can trace in the family, cousin brothers or stepbrothers or something. Vasudeva, once the same father with a Vaishya mother produced Nanda, and the same father with a Kshatriya mother produced Vasudeva. So Nanda and Vasudeva are like brothers. That's extra, I forget the names. So they're meeting, and then Rohini was there, and then Krishna Balaram, and maybe Draupadi, whatever. And then Yashoda completely forgot about everybody else. She just went mad. It says in the commentary, she went mad. She goes, oh, my Krishna Balaram. She sat them on their laps, on her lap, both of them. And she's 100 and they're like 60. She says, oh, and she's embracing them and smelling their heads and kissing them. And it says that her tears of Vatsalya, motherly affection, were falling from her eyes like the Ganga. And the milk was flowing from her breast like the Yamuna. Whatever, vice versa. So there's like streams of tears and breast milk, and 100-year-old woman. Something chamatkar, ascharya. And then what happened at that point, then Vasudev said to Nanda, because he knows diplomacy, he's a kshatriya, and he knows all the human dealings, and Nanda's just there, okay, I've seen this so many times, milk and all this. So Vasudev said, I think we should go outside now. And maybe we can talk and meet some of the other Yadavas and Pandavas, etc. Okay, yeah, so the men go out. Now Rohini's there with Devaki. Devaki, Rohini, and Yashoda. And then Devaki's seeing, she's looking, Mother Yashoda, so much, she's the stepmother. This is my son. But she's thinking, but this Mother Yashoda has so much love for my Lala and for Balaraman, I think she has thousands of times more love. She's gone mad, and she can't even see anyone. She doesn't even know where she forgot all about me and Rohini. She says, "Oh, my sons," and like, you know, forget about you. So then she says, I have to. Then she's thinking, I have to break Yashoda from her samadhi, Vatsalya samadhi, Vatsalya prem. So then she says, "Oh, it's very." She tries to speak. "It's very nice that you took care of my son, and you really raised him nice. And so he thinks of you like his mother because he spent so many years." She's speaking like this. Yashoda's deaf. She doesn't hear anything. And Rohini sees that you're barking up the wrong tree. You're not going to get anywhere. So then Rohini says, "Devaki, maybe we should go outside now and just let them stay there." Yeah, and then Devaki says, "Yeah, I guess you're right." So I don't have the adhikar. I lose. You know, it's like, you know, one guy with two girlfriends, and you know, one maybe wins and the other loses. Whatever. So they go outside, and then Yashoda is fully with her boys. So here, even at that extent, at 6 years old, it's fully like this. So Radharani is that great secret. Almost out of time. So Rahasya. This is a very nice word, and the commentaries, I'm simply sharing them with you. It's available there in Hindi and Bengali and English, which I've already mentioned, the source and everything. So this is, so it's very difficult. The identity of Radharani and her love is a very great mystery, very confidential knowledge. So the word Rahasya, also people that know, of course, Hindi, it's easier for them. Because it's like Sanskrit. Rahasya means, the root of the word rahasya is raha. Raha means re raha hum. Radhakun me re raha hum, or whatever. See? So, which means to live. Raha means to live, the living place, the abode or residence. Like in Hindi, where do you live? Radhakun me re raha hum. Someone says, "Where do you live?" Something like that. I'm not very good at Hindi. I live in Radhakund. Radhakun me re raha hum, or whatever, I don't know. Most people know English, which is good, at least the ones I want to preach to. I live in Radhakun. So the acharyas have combined the word rahasya, which means, very nice, because it says, jyoti param bhagavato ratimad. Bhagavato ratimad, that means Radharani is the rati, she's the Aprakriti, or Alokik Rati, the goddess of attachment, the goddess of loving attachment for the Aprakriti Madan Mohan, Sri Krishna. She's the sole and complete object of Krishna's. That Bhagavan has a Rati. Even Bhagavan, I thought Bhagavan was Niskinchan. I thought he was one of his six opulences is Sadguna, you know, Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya. One of them is Vairagya, detachment. I thought he didn't have any attachments. I thought he was like Atmaram. We describe he's Atmaram, Atmakam. He's aptakam, has no desire to fulfill, and he's atmaram, he's self-satisfied. These are the words that are described in the Puran. Krishna, Bhagavan, Vishnu, Narayan, Ram. But now we're saying he has rati, he has attachment. So who is that? Who has created rati and one who has no rati? Rati means attachment. Kam, lust and attachment. Kamde means lust in the material sense. And his wife is attachment, a good couple. So you have calm, you won't have attachment. So if Kamadeva is sitting on your head, then you know his wife's going to be... If Kamadeva's on one shoulder, then Rati's going to be... Kamadeva will be on your right shoulder, because the woman's on the left, and Rati will sit on your left shoulder. So you get lusty, you get attracted, you get desirous, then you get attached to the watch, to the car, to the person, whatever. So it can be an object of attachment or desire. So now... Radharani is that such intense surrender, sarva dharman purityaja, such a complete, absolute, all dharmas surrendered at Krishna's feet. And she's sarva dharman mamekam sharanam braja. And she is in Braj, she's Brajeshwari. Braj means to move. What moves Braj is Radharani's love. And everyone moves in Braj because of Radharani's love. So Braj means Brajeshwari's prem for Krishna. Brajanath. And Braj means to move. So everyone's moving because of the love of Radha and Krishna. Brajeshwari Radha and Brajasundar, or Brajendranath. Vrijananda and Sri Krishna. So Rahasya, so they're combining because it's in the same line. Bhagavatavratimad Rahasya. So Raha means abode or residence. So we put it together with Rahasya, and Ratimad means Bhagavat Ratimad Rahasya. It means that Srimati Radhika, Radharani, is the only abode or residence of Krishna's intimate, hidden, confidential love. So his Rati, Bhagavat's Rati, is very secret. No one knows. Everyone in Braj has some idea of maybe Krishna is meeting gopis. No one knows. No one really knows. They know that maybe the gopis go here and he goes there. Even the mother-in-law, even Jatila, she thinks, but no one's ever caught. No one's sure. So that's why she's able to be convinced by Kundalata that, oh, Mother Yashoda wants Krishna to come, Lala to come, I mean, Radharani to come and cook Lala's breakfast every day. Well, okay, yeah, Bhaguri Muni and Purnamasi said that I should obey the Brajeshri Radharani, I mean, Brajeshri Yashoda, I should obey her, and all wealth will come to me and good fortune will come to me. All right, let Radharani go. But if she knew, if Jatila was absolutely sure that her daughter was tightly mixing with Krishna, she would not let her out of the house for one second. What to speak of go to Surya Kunda, do puja. Jatila is greedy, like most of us. She wants money. She wants cows. She wants gold. She wants silk. So she gets all these things from Yashoda, and her daughter-in-law is a Surya Upasaka. There's Panchupasana, Panchadeva Upasana, and all the Brijvasis, they worship one of the Panchupasana. That the father, Chandravali's father, is a worshiper of Durga, so then she worships Gauri, because she's the daughter of the Gauri Upasaka. And then there's Narayan, there's a Panchadevata, Narayan, Surya, Durga, Shiva, Ganapati, whatever, that's like that. So then Nanda Baba, he worships Narayan. He's a Narayan Upasak because Krishna's God. who else? So then he tells his son, oh, Krishna, go in the mandir and chant your mantra. Yes, so Krishna goes, Om Namo Narayan. Om Namo Narayan. Om Namo Narayan. Narayan. Nara. Ra. Narayan, Om Namo Narayan, Ra, Ra, Ra. Doesn't see his shoulder looking. Radha, 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 Radha. Oh, Lala, you finished your mantra. Yeah, yeah. I you see the Murti smiling. He's very happy, you know. So Krishna, and then come take Narayan's prasad. Mahaprasad. Oh, yeah, it's very good. I want that Mahaburfi. So Krishna's mad after the Mangalartik Burfi from Narayan. Like you're mad after Shamsundar's Burfi or whatever. So this is Rahasya, that they say that she's the residence, she's the secret, she's the Raha, the residence, she's the Prem Gufa. She's the secret cave where Krishna deposits all his love and all his affection. So this is the second line, this is second class in this verse, aspiring for Radha's seva. Purnanuraga rasamurti tadil latabam jyoti param bhagavato ratimad rahasyam yat pradurasti kripaya brishabhanu gehe syat kinkari bhavatum eva mam abhilasha. Radhika is the personification of complete loving attachment, Purnanuraga rasamurti. She has a effulgence, jyoti, an aura of lightning creepers. Jyoti, tadil or tadit, lata, abham, jyoti param. She's the topmost effulgence of effulgences, jyoti param. She's the object of affection for Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Bhagavato Ratimad. She's the most secret of mysteries, rahasya, and she mercifully appears in Brishabhano's house, kripaya Brishabhano griha or gehe. My abhilash, mama abhilash, my desire is bhavatam. Let it be, let it happen that I become her kinkari, which means, of course, manjari. So this verse is describing, as most of the verses, because when you're describing Radhagun, Radhanama, Radhagun are Rasikacharyas like Sripad, or Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Vishwanath, Narottam. Whenever they're describing Krishna's Nam, or Rupa, or Gun, or Leela, then simultaneously, even in the same verse, Radharani will also be glorified. So this verse is glorifying, of course, because it's the whole upasana, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas is Yugalopasana. So we're worshipping Radha Govinda Yugal from the angle of Sakhi Bhav, specifically Manjari Bhav, Kinkari Bhav. So this is Madhura Rati, this Braj Rati, this Rag Marg that Lord Chaitanya's associates are propagating. So all the writings will be about cultivating and nourishing and developing our sadhana to attain that sadhya of Radha and Krishna's eternal service in the mode of this Kinkari Bhav, primarily, predominantly, because that's all of our acharyas and most all of our lines of parivars are in that mood everywhere, I see. So that when they're writing, they're going to, this is Radharas Sudhaniti, it's all about the glories of Radharani, but Krishna is everywhere. Because Radharani is everything as Krishna, so it's very beautiful. And then Radha and Krishna are there in every verse, and then these particular verses, at least these 40 verses that are indicating Kinkiri or Kaikarnya or Anucharani or Paricharika or Dasi, these words indicate Radharani's maid service, wherein Tungavidya Sakhi, who is Prabhudananda Saraswati, at least some are saying, many are also saying, especially here and other places, that Tungavidya Sakhi is Brakreshwara Pandit, but there can be two Sakhis with the same name, or it can be multiple identities, there's many varieties, they're both right. That's the best way to look at it. There's so many Gunamantris. So that's one thing you should know, that, oh, Gunamantri is Gopal Bhatta. Well, Gunamantri is also Gaurakishoradas Babaji. So when they get up there in the spiritual, well, you're Gunamantri 1, Gunamantri 2. So just like here, how many girls are named, or Sunya or whatever, how many people are named Sunil? So many. You may be in school and you have five friends named, Amit. But you know, this is Amit, this and Amit. You know who's who. So but people say, everybody has to have their own spiritual name and all. It's not exactly like that. I don't know if there's two Radhas. There's one Radha and there's two, one Krishna. But of course, there's unlimited Radhas also. And they're also dancing or whatever. So that's it for today. We're a little bit out of time for questions. But tomorrow, usually we stop a little early. And questions are only on the class. If you have other questions, you can come on Sunday from 4 to 6. And that's satsang time. But otherwise, exactly on the class. We described why yesterday. Radharas Sudhaniti ki jai. Prabhunananda Saraswati Pada ki jai. Shri Purushottamadikamas Bratta ki jai. Jai jai Shri Radhe. Jai jai Shri Radhe. Jai jai Shri Radhe. Vrindavan Vihari Lala ki jai. Radharani ki jai. Giriradharani ki jai.